والسلام على سيد المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. All thanks and all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty Maker, Creator and Sustainer of the Universe. We proceed by sending darud and salam upon the final messenger of Allah, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our lessons are on Khatamun Nabiyyin, Sayyidul Mursaleen, the finality of the prophethood, the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the components of his greatness, what makes him great, number-wise, fact for fact, each item elaborated on what makes him, as the final message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest amongst all the messengers of Allah. Sayyidul Mursaleen, he is the leader, he is the chief, the master, the imam of all the Anbiya's. Altogether, we understand there were 124,000. For him to have that kind of eminence and prominence surely deserves explanation, surely deserves reasons, factors that make him to be the finest, the greatest, the most prominent, the most eminent, that gives him the status to be the leading messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among these thousands of messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have him, the one to come as the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be then the leader of all the Anbiya's, what a great prominence and status he occupies as the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have been looking at various factors over the last few weeks, and we were engaged in examining and looking at the 50th fact. Now that's a lot of numbers. 50 different factors that show, go to show and to prove what makes him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the leading messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the final and the leading messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I did not conclude fact number 50, so I wish to just summarize it quickly up to where we had done, and then to continue from there. What we had done is that we are looking at the features and characteristics of the prophets that have been described in the Quran Majid. But we find that every feature, every talent, every characteristic of the organs and the limbs and the habits of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have been lovingly and mercifully described in minute detail by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah speaks of the organs and the limbs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No previous prophet or messenger of Allah has been spoken to with such great love and such great compassion. In the case of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every feature of his eyes, his head, his face, his hands, his back, his feet, all have been carefully described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what we were examining. For example, in this brief summary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْحِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. We see you turning your face towards the heavens. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to constantly seek the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and used to look up quite often. In Surah Baqarah, second surah of the Quran, ayat number 44, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him constantly looking up into the heavens, looking towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the reason was longing for true direction and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that you are constantly turning towards the heavens, looking up into the heavens, seeking direction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ. And do not strain your eyes, O my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not keep You're straining your eyes. Do not strain your eyes. Surah Hijr, 15th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 88. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not strain your eyes by constantly looking forward towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ. What is that? So we have made the Quran easy in your own language, in your own tongue, in the Arabic language. Allah revealed this Quran Majid in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah Quran Majid, ayat number 97. فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ. The tongue, in your tongue. So here again a description of the tongue of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah has revealed it in your tongue. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةٌ إِلَىٰ أُنُقِكَ. Make not your hand tied to your neck. Do not tire yourself by stretching your hands. Rather, conserve your energy and be fit. Don't get tired by constantly stretching your hands out. Alhamdulillah, these are the examples how Allah describes the various limbs of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with great love. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Have we not expanded your breast? In other words, we have expanded your breast for you. We have expanded you, we have stretched you, we have widened your breast for you, for the understanding, for the wisdom that lies within it. It is we who have extended it, broadened it, widened it, in order that your breast can absorb the spirituality that comes through. So the breast of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been described to such an extent that it spans with divine teaching, practice and mercy the whole of mankind and jinnkind. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَضَعْنَا أَنْكَ وِدْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْكَدَ ظَهْرَكَ. And we have removed from thee thy burden, which did break thy back. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the back. Don't break your back. For what we have done is, in your case, we have taken away that responsibility whereby you should break your back. Don't break your back over people and what happens there. We have taken charge of you and your life and your people. So don't you break your back by unnecessarily placing a huge burden upon it. Because if you place a burden upon your back which is beyond your capacity to hold, what will it do? It will break your back. So Allah is saying, وَوَضَعْنَا أَنْكَ وِذْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْكَدَ ظَهْرَكَ. We have removed from your back this burden that could break your back. All these are terms which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has lovingly used for the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now to continue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then further says, فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ. Yeah, the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been described, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Baqarah, second Surah of the Quran, ayat number 97. فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ. That Jibreel brings down divine revelation, the word of Allah, the revelation of Allah, of the Quran, and puts it and places into your heart. Places it into your heart. So Jibreel alayhi salam, chief angel Jibreel, places divine revelation into your heart, which makes it easy for you to accommodate. But what a heart that must have been that could take divine revelation. Generally, revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that it will burn a person immediately. That is the power of divine revelation. It burns you. It destroys. That is how much energy it carries. What carries? Divine revelation. What is that? Wahi. Revelation carries from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much power and so much energy. Can you imagine coming down from the seventh heaven? That the moment it touches anything on this earth, even a mountain, it will destroy it, it will turn it into dust. And yet the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was strong enough to have absorbed divine revelation. Can we now understand how powerful was the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to receive directly divine revelation, wahi? What a heart that must have been, that could absorb that immense power, energy that was radiated by, that was exuded by wahi, divine revelation. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ. When Jibreel brings down divine revelation, your heart absorbs it, your heart contains it, your heart remembers it, your heart memorizes it. Such was the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran is not the work of any human mind or any human hand, but it has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the agency of Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, in the form of wahi, in the form of divine revelation. The rabbis, the priests, the temple priests, and their political heads, Heraclius, Constantine, and many others of that era preceding Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were alleging. You know what they were alleging? That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was writing the Quran himself. That was one allegation that they made, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was compiling the Quran himself. He was writing it. However, when they were informed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an ummi, he was an unlettered person, one who could not read and write, then they immediately switched and they changed their story to claim that he was being assisted by a group of priests to compile it. Some rabbis and some priests were helping him, who knew Arabic language very well. Look how they switched. They changed the story and suddenly they began to say, no, we made a mistake. We didn't know that he was, that he couldn't read and write, that he was an unlettered person, he was an ummi. So then they said, no, from Najran, there are some priests. They even named these Christian priests, and some of the rabbis were named. They said, no, this group came together and they sat down, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited them and he called them to Medina, to Makkah first and then Medina, and then they helped him to formulate the Quran. They wrote out the Quran and they compiled it. So, alleging that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, so to say, compiling the Quran himself, and that it was the work of their priests and their rabbis. That is how they changed the story. However, even this did not impact on the Arab peoples. Why? Because they recognized the revealed nature of the Quran from its vocabulary and its linguistic style, that this could never be the work of human beings. And so they more readily embraced Islam, until there were hardly any non-believers among them, among the Arab peoples. And those who were in Arabia at that time, non-believers, they vacated and they went away to other lands. Those who refused to accept Islam and the Risalat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran, what did they do? Very few of them in any case left and they went away to other lands. They went away to distant Persia and Rome and other places. They left Makkah and Medina and they went away. They traveled away from there. But what I'm saying to you is, these are the kinds of allegations that were made in those early days. And then of course, but the Arabs who recited the Quran immediately knew, from just reading one ayat, they knew, this can never be the work of man. It can never be the work of any priests or any rabbis. It is totally untrue. The Arabs themselves, even the non-believers among the Arabs, were not prepared to accept that any human hand could have compiled or written the Quran. And that is how it happened, that when this story began to leak out from amongst the non-Muslimin, the non-believers in Arabia and other parts of the world, that the Quran was being compiled by rabbis and priests and other peoples, non-Arabs and so on, then immediately the Arabs began to laugh at them. And that is how it happened that the whole of Arabia eventually accepted the Risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam via the power and the Arabic language used in the Quran. The Arabs were very proud of their language, and of course they had no hesitation in accepting the Quran and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was one of the major reasons for the spread of Islam amongst the Arabians. We proceed further. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in describing the limbs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in factor number 50, says, La amruka innahum lafi sakratihim ya'mahun. Verily, by the life, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by your life, they, the non-believers, in their useless intoxication, are wandering around in distraction all over, like lost people with no nothing to hold on to, with no basics, no fundamentals, nothing to believe in. So what they are doing, O my Rasul, they are just wandering around, lost people, lost cause, purposeless. They have no purpose in life. What is their purpose? La amruka innahum lafi sakratihim ya'mahun. Verily, by your life, O my Rasul, these unbelievers, these non-Muslimin, they are so drunk, they are so intoxicated with the dunya, with this world, with the material splendor and luxury of this world. They are so enamored by it that they are so distracted by it that they are like lost people that have nothing to grasp onto and nothing to hold onto. You know, this ayat from Surah Hijr, 15th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 72, is so significant in describing the non-Muslimin of the world of today. Look at them. Just look around and see. I spoke in the UK to some of the British people who had embraced Islam, and I asked, you know, tell me, what is it? What is it that attracted you, that drew you to Islam? What is it? And, you know, one of the replies they gave me was that we don't have any fundamentals in our religion that we can hold on to. Everything, even the Trinity, is questionable. Can it be possible? Even we as Christians cannot accept that three can go into one and one can go into three. Mathematically, it is impossible that three can go into three gods, can go into one, or that one God can be divided into three. Equal parts. That is the first thing. Similarly, we come in here and we notice the Muslims at prayer, and we wonder, look at this, the format of Salah, how it is that a Muslim prays. He is in immediate concentration and immediately in communication with his Maker and Creator. He said, find us another religion. The Hindus need idols. They need something to hold on to see in order to pray to God. We Christians have the cross. We can't pray without the cross. The cross must be in front of us. So we say that we need that. We need piano. We need music, background. Every church is equipped with the harmoniums and with the sound. We need hymns to sing, clap, and so on, in order to reach God. We come and we see the Muslims at prayer in silence. They are talking with their Maker and Creator. That we can understand. We can readily understand and comprehend. No intermediary. We don't need music in Islam. No music is necessary. Nothing. All you do is you stand up, Allahu Akbar. Allah, you are the greatest. And you immediately in communication with your Creator. And look at Surah Fatiha. What a powerful Surah of the Quran this is. And look at the meaning of Surah Fatiha. Immediately and directly you are showing that you are totally dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is all maker and all creator. And you are saying, Yaka na'budu, O Allah, only you do we worship. Not through Jesus, not through Moses, not through an idol, not through idols. Directly you are saying, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. We are totally, we worship you alone and we are dependent on you alone. Whatever we seek from you. We don't have to turn. Where do you find? You know, just those Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in has hit them so hard. It has opened their eyes so hard. The simple words, Iyaka na'budu. We worship only Thee, only You, O Allah, one Allah. And we seek whatever we want. We seek only from You, exclusively from the one and only who can give. Allahu Akbar. So what I am saying to you, these are the reasons that we're furnished. And I am saying to you that this is what the greatness of Islam is. And it drew the whole of Arabia accepted Islam. It was لَأَمْرُكَ إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي سَقْرَتِهِمْ يَأْمَهُونَ. Very significant ayat of the Quran Majid. Verily, by your life, O Muhammad Rasulullah, these non-believers, in their useless intoxication, they are wandering around in distraction all over like lost people with no fundamentals, nothing to hold on to. What fundamentals? La ilaha illallah. Look at this kalima. La ilaha illallah. There is none worthy of worship except one Allah. Just the one Allah we pray to. That's it. Final, complete, perfect. We believe in one Allah. It makes sense. La ilaha illallah. And then to say, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say, where is their religion? They are asking me, where is their religion? Where every action, every word, every act and every word of a prophet has been recorded and maintained 15 centuries down the line. The Muslims can tell us exactly what words he used. Where is it? Can we Christians tell you exactly the words of Jesus? Every act and every deed and every action of Jesus? Can we? They say we are the largest, we have, Christianity has the largest following in the world. But can a single Christian ever say to you, this was the day of the Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. This is what he said, these are his direct words, this is his action, this is how he prayed, this is how he lived, this is how he did, this is what he did. They say, did he get married? Can Jesus speak to us and tell us about marital life, about marriage, bringing up children, and how to run a home? Is there anything? They say, how can you take an incomplete? He did not marry. He did not have a family during his lifetime. Though they allege, they do say that there was and so on. But was there? No, there was nothing. There's nothing we have of what Jesus did. We have nothing of his. We have nothing of Moses. So how can anybody claim, the Jews or the Christians, what do we have claim to? We have nothing to hand on to, nothing to hold on to. But Muslimin, in Islam, everything is there. It's a complete religion. So what I'm saying to you is, Alhamdulillah, in this particular way, we understand when they say that Islam is a complete religion, a complete deen, a complete way of life. The proof is there. Everything about Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is there, recorded, preserved with the very lives of the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah. Remember, over the last 15 centuries, a lot of attacks were made on Islam. There was a time when, during the Tartarian revolt, they came, what was the maqsad, what was the purpose? To wipe out Islam completely. After that, there have been so many stages. So many things Islam has passed through, the Muslim Ummah has passed through, but we have survived all. Everything has been survived. Islam has survived. Tell me, the Quran Majid, how often have attacks been made on the Quran Majid? Has it survived? Is it pure intact? Can any Muslim stand up and say that the Quran that was revealed to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is exactly the same Quran that we have today? Even a Muslim child will tell you that. Exactly, word for word, it is the same. Not a single word has changed. 15 centuries. In 3 centuries, Christianity was changed completely. Every other religion within a century was perverted, changed. And most of the changes were done at the hands of the very priests. So the question is, how can, you know, these people, they look into the deen and they say no. Preserved 100% pure. The purity of Islam is such that it impacts on these people, and they immediately recognize it as a true religion. These are the reasons that I was given why they are embracing Islam. In Europe, the fastest spreading religion is what? Is the deen of Islam. No matter what they may be doing, but it is spreading. Throughout the West, Islam is spreading. So that it appears that soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it that 2/3 of the world would have accepted Islam. And I have no doubt about it, because that is how, as a result of the interaction of the media, the deen of Islam is. Everybody wants peace in the world. There's so much fighting, so much war, so much quarreling, so much trouble in the world. People want peace. People are looking for peace, and Allah is offering them and guiding them towards Islam. Let's proceed. All the ayat verses of the Quran Majid in this factor number 50 point to the inherent unique quality of the beauty and outstanding features of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they portray the love and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm saying to you, not that Allah did not love the other messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, He did. Allah loves everybody. All the messengers of Allah, the prophets of Allah, were loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were appointed by, they were selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there was special preference for Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In no previous revealed scripture has such emphasis been given to any previous divine book as the attention to details of features and appearances of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran Majid. This speaks volumes for the status, the eminence, the dignity, and the loftiness of Khatamun Nabiyyin wa Sayyidul Mursaleen, of the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his dignified stature and high ranking merit among the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That concludes factor number 50, and we proceed now to factor number 51 that makes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most outstanding messenger, prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's look at this particular factor. The other prophets were awarded particular forms of worship, prayer, and meditation. Whereas in the case of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was blessed with the form of congregational safs, rows in salah, in prayer, and the format of the prayer was received by the Muslim Ummah. How? In accordance with the salah and the prayer of the blessed and innocent angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, out of all in mankind, only the Muslimin pray in this particular way. Others have stools to sit on, chairs to sit on, and so on and so on, and some have all the facilities, different kind of facilities. When it comes to the Muslimin, when they pray, they stand in straight rows. What is the reason? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to the Sahaba Karam that we, my ummah, we pray. Allah has given me the format of prayer which is similar to the prayer of the malaikas. And these are the words which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I said earlier, that we can tell you 15 centuries ago the exact words used by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here goes. These are the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, preserved intact in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَدَّلْتُ عَلَى النَّاسِ بثلاث إلى قوله وجعلت صفوفنا كصفوف الملائكة. This is in the compilation hadith kitab of Imam Baihaqi, and it is related by Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We tell you who the narrator is, and let me tell you, I can take back between me and my, that is how we graduate. When we graduate as an alim, and I'm saying this in all humility, when we graduate, what is the graduation ceremony all about? We are given by our teachers the line, the lineage through our ustads, taking us right up to the period of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I can tell you sitting here that look, this is my lineage which links me to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each and every name of each my ustads, and from them their ustads and their ustads, right up to through the Sahaba Ikram, right up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Show me a lineage. Can any priest show to you how he is linked to Jesus? Can any rabbi, can any Jew prove to you, a rabbi, can he show to you that he is a priest, that how he is linked to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? Look at this treasure that we Muslims have, that each alim that qualifies is given on the day of graduation that lineage, that line that links him to Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is our graduation ceremony. So it is remarkable, and we need to remember. So when I read out a hadith, this hadith that I've read out now, let me translate it for you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, I have been blessed with three qualities above all the other prophets, one of which is that our safs, our rows in congregational salah, are observed in straight rows distinctly like those of the angels, like those of the malaikas. The other two specialities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are, one is the blessing of the Quran which he received, and the second one is that he is Khatamun Nabiyyin, the finality of prophethood. So this makes it the three that he speaks about here. This is a tremendous blessing upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he received this blessing of Jamaat Salah being observed in rows and in safs like the malaikas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it shows his eminence and status among all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the love and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his personage, and how close he was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It also proves how, through regular observation of Jamaat Salah, the Ummah can attain to spiritual heights of loftiness, of purity, of excellence and elevation, of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also their high status and lofty position of attaining the mercy and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being highly blessed on the day of Qiyamah. I mean, end of factor number 51 with this dua, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all from His mercy and grant us all falah and success in the hereafter. Ameen. So this ends off this particular factor number 51, and we proceed now to factor number 52 in our lessons on what makes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what makes him the most eminent, the Imamul Anbiya, Sayyidul Anbiya, the leader of all the Anbiya's. Look, it is a major factor, and we need to know, why is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most eminent, the Sayyidul Anbiya, the leader of all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We need, as Muslimin, to understand his rank and his position as the most dignified, as the most eminent, as the most prominent messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say that with all humility. We are very fortunate that in this particular era and this time, Akhiru Zama, no prophet is going to come after him, that we have a prophet, that we have a Rasul like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest, This ummah owes him a lot. And we need to understand this and we need to hold on to him. Everything he did we need to do. We need to lead a life emulating him in every field of activity. So factor number 52 is as follows. All the other messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were awarded and they were blessed with miracles. We call that mu'jizats. With miracles of profound merit and astonishing display of their right to be prophets and to be recognized and accepted as such, as these were practical manifestations well beyond human ability. This is a very delicate subject I'm discussing here, and I want you to understand, particularly my brothers here in Cape Town, because we have had, this class has had, I have had lots of problems with regard to this particular thing of mu'jizat, but I will tell you a little later as we continue. Those who recognized it had no hesitation in accepting them as true messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, in their particular people and their community that Prophet came to, when they performed such a miracle, such a mu'jizat, people were immediately affected by it. They said, this is not humanly possible. This is a supernatural event that has occurred. And therefore, we have to accept this person as being the messenger, the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So their people, not all, but many amongst them, accepted the miracle, the mu'jiza of the anbiya's, and then accepted that person, that prophet, as the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, he was blessed with such a unique, marvelous, and intellectual, incomparable and eternal miracle, which can stand the test of time and continue to be a miracle till the end of time, eternally, which brought and continues to bring millions of people into the fold of Islam through its sheer perfection of rhyme and reason, of wording and meaning, of faultlessness and perfection in text and in content, where even its enemies have succumbed to its flawlessness, its perfection and its accuracy. You know what is that miracle? The miracle of the Quran Majid. This Quran was blessed and revealed to Khatamun Nabiyyin, Sayyidul Mursaleen, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, he says, "Ma min al-anbiya'i nabiyun illa a'ta ma misluhu amana alayhi al-bashar. Wa innama kana allazi utituhu wahyan awhaaha Allahu ilayya. فَرْجِعُوا أَنْ أَكُونَ أَكْسَرُهُمَا تَابِئًا أَكْسَرُهُمْ تَابِئًا." هذا الحديث في صحيح البخاري. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, he says, no messenger of Allah has there ever been who has been endowed with miracles, who has not been endowed with miracles from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prove his prophethood to the people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with a special miracle of divine revelation, which I pray will make my followers to be always in the majority. This is always in the majority or eventually in the majority. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this mentions that look, every prophet has been given a miracle. Or miracles they were endowed with by Allah. They were blessed with miracles. But he says, I have been given a miracle which until the end of time is going to last. It will continue to be a miracle. I have mentioned some of the facts to you. Look at the Huffaz. Is there any priest, any Christian? They say they are in the majority. Good, okay, you're in the majority. But is there a single Christian who can close the Bible and read that whole Bible from first word to last word out of his head, out of his mind, memory? Has it been done? Has it ever been done? You take a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old child who's a Hafiz of Quran. At that young age, he will sit down, you close the Quran, or you keep your Quran open, that child will recite the whole of the Quran from cover to cover. Is that not a miracle? How many millions of Huffaz are there in the world at this time? Every year there are Huffaz, thousands and thousands, millions of Huffaz there are. Is that not a living miracle? And these people that have embraced Islam tell me that it hit them, you know, it hit them very hard. They say it is shocking to us that young children can become Huffaz of the Quran Majid. They say this alone is proof that this Quran is a miracle. It is definitely a miracle because it is incredible. They use the word impossible. They say it is impossible for a 10, 12, 14-year-old child to memorize the whole Bible. They say it has never happened. We cannot even conceive that it will ever happen. How is it possible that young Muslim children can become Huffaz? Within 2 years, 3 years' time, they become Hafiz of the Quran. How is it possible? Because it is a miracle. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, look, I have been blessed with this everlasting miracle, the miracle of the Quran Majid. And the flawlessness and perfection of the Quran Majid is such that it can be by hearted and memorized in this particular way. So here it is, no messenger of Allah has there been who has not been endowed with miracles from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prove his prophethood to the people that he came to. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with the miracle of divine revelation, which I pray will make my followers to be in the majority. Hadith from Bukhari. So true are these words uttered by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 15 centuries ago, that all attempts at desecration of the Quran or to suppress its effervescence and its continuity, or to trample or to tear the Quran or to burn it and destroy it, have resulted in enormous casualties through self-inflicted crimes and mental disorders, as well as natural disasters and tragedies. I told you this, I don't want to elaborate every week, but wherever has happened in the past that any non-believer has disrespected the Quran Majid, has torn the Quran Majid, has trampled on the Quran Majid, or has burnt the Quran Majid, reports are coming in now that they have become mentally disordered, they've gone mad. They have lost their sanity. You cannot play with the words of the Quran. You cannot show disrespect to the Quran Majid and expect nothing to happen. The majority of people who have trampled or burnt the Quran Majid have discovered throughout the world now, especially news coming in from Afghanistan, news coming in from Iraq, is that any soldier, kafir soldier, that has done, shown any disrespect towards the Quran, even those who have deliberately turned their back to the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken away their sanity. They lose their minds, they become mentally disabled. And this is what has been happening. The word is now going around, be careful of this Quran Majid. This Quran is very powerful. Such is the miracle of the Quran Majid. So whoever has tried this, they have suffered the consequences by becoming mentally disordered. So there it is. This is what I keep saying every time. We need to understand and appreciate the power of the Quran Majid. Also, they find that those countries that attack Muslim countries, they have also found that natural calamities, natural tragedies are hitting them. You tell me, a country like the United States, where fires are burning, they have all the technology, all the science in order to put out their fires. At the moment there's a fire burning in California, they can't put it out. Highly developed region of the United States, California is, a lot of forests there, fires are burning, they can't put it up. They're using every means to put out the fire, but the fire continues. They put it up one place, it starts burning in another place. Typhoons are hitting them from all sides. All kinds of tragedies are hitting them. What is it? This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the Quran Majid continues to draw large numbers into the fold of Islam as people of other faiths are recited and are drawn to the truth of the revelation and the power of the truth of the haq that is in the contents of the Quran Majid. Attempts at replacing the Quran with another of similar style has failed miserably due to the exceptional nature of the Arabic language, and over 15 centuries the best minds of the kuffar intelligentsia have failed to produce anything even close to the Quran Majid. The huffaz of Islam, I want you to understand one thing. The Quran was revealed in the Arabic language. The Arabic language is a very mathematical language. It is a unique language. No language has the kind of grammar that Arabic language has. Everything is grammatically formulated. That is how perfect the Arabic language is. In that language, they have tried, the kuffar have studied Arabic language and they've tried to copy it and reproduce it in different ways. 15 centuries, absolute failure. The huffaz of Islam are the mental custodians of the Quran Pak. And the task of the non-believers is therefore a daunting one, an impossible one in fact. That the Quran is recited daily by every musalli in every rak'at and in tilawat all the time is another reason for the disappointment of the kuffar. The fact that Muslim prisoners find so much solace and comfort in reciting the Quran in prison and even in chains and even in torture, even in torment, and they are prepared to face death with a smile if the Quran is on their lips, are also reasons for their disappointment, the disappointment of the kuffar. They cannot understand that Muslims are prepared to face death with a smile as long as the Quran is on their lips. Some guards have been so influenced by the sincerity of the iman, the faith, the belief of the Muslims, and the strength of their iman and conviction, that they have embraced Islam. Thus does the Quran continue to draw the pure and sincere ones of all faiths and all religions into its fold, and so to expand Islam. This is the miracle and the power of the Quran Majid, that up till today, non-Muslims that find the nur of the Quran and the barakah of the Quran are embracing it. You will be amazed how many millions of people have embraced Islam through the power radiated by the Quran, the perfection of the Quran Majid. Now we continue with fact number 53. Another exceptional and remarkable fact of the eminent status and dignified position of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that reflects on the superiority and leadership over others, over other prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that makes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stand out as the Khatam al-Nabiyyin and Sayyidul Mursaleen is the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the only one among the elite messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are greeted in every salah with the words As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Greetings of peace be upon you, O Rasul, O Messenger of Allah, and may the mercy and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you also. In no prayer, in no salah of any previous religion or prophet or prophets has there ever been such a greeting in prayer on their particular prophet. Only in Islam, out of respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in every salah, before ending salah, we greet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Greetings of peace be upon you, O Messenger of Allah, and may the mercy and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you. This salutation is a tremendous reminder of the elevated and supreme status among the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No such greeting in prayer, in the form of worship, was ever granted to any previous messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has only been granted to, as a great blessing, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is a very important factor we need to remember. Now let's proceed with factor number 54. Altogether, in other words, we have completed 53 particular outstanding features and factors that make Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the greatest among all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I keep using the word Khatamun Nabiyyin, final messenger of Allah, Sayyidul Mursaleen, leader of all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Factor number 54 is as follows. On the day of Qiyamah, under the banner and flag of each prophet will be his people, his followers, the nation and the tribes that he came to, that he preached to, that he propagated to. But under the huge flag of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shall be Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wa salam and all the children of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wa salam that do not fall under the flag, under the banner of the other prophets. The hadith states as follows: Adama wa min dunihi tahta liwa'i yawm al-qiyamah wa la fakhra. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 15th century ago, he sat in the Masjid al-Nabawi and he told the Sahaba ikram these words that I am repeating to you, that Adam alayhi salam and his children shall be under my flag on the day of Qiyamah. And I say this in all humility. I say this in all humility, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm not saying it out of boast. I'm not saying it out of pride. I'm saying it humbly to you, that Adam alayhi salam and all his children will be on the day of Qiyamah under my flag, under my banner they will be. So here it is in the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I say this in all humility. This hadith is contained in the compilation of hadith of Imam Ahmad, known as the Musnad Ahmad. In other words, I say this as a token of appreciation and gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Allah who made this possible through his munificence and omnipotence. And I say it out of shukr and appreciation. That's how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed his humility. The huge and vast flag of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the hadith, it is called the Liwa'ul Hamd. The huge and vast flag is known as Liwa'ul Hamd, the flag of praise, under the shade of which the largest number of people shall be accommodated to receive, among other blessings of true belief and piety, the shafa'at, the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the privilege of being the most discernible, the most prominent, his ummah. The most discernible, the most prominent, and the most elevated people in the whole of mankind from the beginning of time until the end. The people of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shall be the highest, on the highest platform on that day. Whole of mankind will look onto them, will look at the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and envy them. They will say, why are we not with them? Had we, especially from after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people will, out of envy, as a result of their loss, all the Christian people, the Jewish people, Hindu people, all of all faiths and all religions, on the day of Qiyamah, will look upon the Muslimin and say, what happened to us? Why were we a lost people? Why did we not embrace Islam? And they will look. And the other reason, which I think I've already stated, is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, my ummah, they will recognize me, I will recognize them because of the brightness of their faces as a result of having made wudu. Their faces will be bright, their hands will be bright, everything will be lit up, everything will be shining, and they will be, you know, in the brightness and the glory of the wudu that they have observed in their lifetime. We proceed now to factor number 55. all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that came to deliver the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to their respective communities, and they did so to the best of their abilities. There were those who were successful, but the majority received tremendous opposition and enmity from their people, and numerous of them were also killed at the hands of their people. Nevertheless, each and every Nabi and Rasul stuck to their mission. They never wavered. They persisted in their duty to lead their people towards truth, piety, and virtue, unmindful of the opposition and negativity of their people, no matter their rate of success or failure. On the day of Qiyamah, the spokesperson for all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ahadith in the kitab Khasais al-Kubra ends with the words that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will represent and speak on behalf of the awwaleen wa akhareen, the past and future generations. This fact further establishes the eminence and lofty status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam among the thousands of messengers and prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his remarkable contributions during his life, and also on the inevitable day of judgment. On the day of Qiyamah, he will speak on behalf of all the Anbiya's and Rasul's. He will be given permission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only for intercession and shafaat, but he will be granted permission to speak on behalf of the whole of humanity for all the Anbiya's and Rasul's. I mean, you must understand his position in this particular factor as the Sayyidul Anbiya. This is what makes him Sayyidul Anbiya, the chief and the leader, the Imamul Anbiya, the Imam of all the Anbiya's. That Imam is the one who has to speak. He is the leader. So he speaks on behalf of all the Anbiya's, and they will all, he will be speaking on behalf of all. That is the reason why he will be the only one who intercedes on behalf of all those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to forgive. He will be asked to go on to the Maqam-e Mahmood and to intercede on behalf of his ummah on that particular day. And he will then plead with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for shafa'at. And we end this particular number by saying, may we be amongst those who are also granted the shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that day. We proceed in the remaining few minutes that we have with the article, or rather factor number 56. Very interesting here also. On the day of Qiyamah, the people of each of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall be known according to their divisions and according to their positions under the designation of their respective prophets. The ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, will be recognized due to their glowing faces and the brightness of their limbs that they have washed and purified during wudu. Once, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking to the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in about the house of Kawthar, the Sahaba asked him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was explaining to them the fountain of Kawthar and how his ummah would come there and how he will give them in golden goblets water to drink from the house of Kawthar and how it would calm them down and cool them down. So he was explaining that to them. So one of the Sahabas then asked him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will we, your ummah, be recognized by you on the day of Qiyamah? Will you recognize us, Ya Rasulullah, on that day? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, this is how the hadith goes, Qalu, Ya Rasulullah, ata'rifuna yawma izin? Qala na'am. لكم سيما ليست لأحد من الأمم تردون على غر محجلين من أسد الوضوء أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Sahabas asked him, will you recognize your ummah on the day of Qiyamah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Na'am, yes, most certainly. Among all the people, entire humanity, the past and the present and the future, you will appear before me on the day of Qiyamah at the Hawdah Kawthar, among the huge gathering of mankind, with your faces, your hands, and your limbs, with which you made wudu, shining brightly and resplendently. This hadith is narrated by Hazrat Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Sahih Muslim. The kitab is Sahih Muslim, compilation in the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, I will recognize you. I will know you are members of my ummah. And I will know you by the brightness of your faces, your hands, everything will be lit up. And I will know this is my ummah because of the brightness. When you made wudu, this is the reward that you will receive, the blessing you will receive on the day of Qiyamah. You will have shining, brightly lit faces, hands, limbs, your feet, and so on. This hadith is narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala in Sahih Muslim. In this instance, again, the outstanding eminence and dignified status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clearly reflected, as also the dignity that his ummah derived from observing the wudu, the ablution, on the day when humanity will be in utter shock and trepidation as to the outcome of the reckoning on that occasion, where nothing helps but the rewards and blessings of true faith, iman, and virtuous actions according to the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Sharia. Wudu, ablution, alone plays a huge role in contributing to the appearance and dignified presence of the Muslim Ummah on that day, that all of mankind shall see the distinction in which they shall be held, the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, we should ascribe to wudu the care and caution that it deserves as an act of great merit and phenomenal blessings and rewards. Each of us should remember this, and we should pay attention to the way we make wudu, that no portion of our limbs is left dry, that it has not been wet properly, because that is the reward and the blessing on the day of Qiyamah. Brightly lit, you will see the brightness of your face, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will see it also, and he will be happy among the whole, all the messengers of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is my ummah. Look at my ummah. This reward is only due to him. Factor number 57 is as follows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to the various prophets by their respective names in the Quran Majid. But in the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has been addressed by his dignified titles and notable designations and descriptions indicating the eminence, the dignity, the lofty stature of Khatamun Nabiyyin and Sayyidul Mursaleen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here follows some examples of such comparisons. We firstly examine references of the other messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed all the other Nabis, all the other Rasuls of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the following way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ We, Allah said, O Adam, dwell you and your wife in the garden of paradise. Here again, Nabi Adam alayhi salam has been called and addressed by Allah by his name. وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ O Adam, we, Allah said, O Adam, dwell you and your wife in the garden of paradise. Surah Baqarah, second surah of the Quran, is ayah number 35. Similarly, Nuh alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Nuhu ihbit bi salamin minna wa barakatin alayh. Here again, by the people, Nabi Nuh alayhi salam has been addressed. They say, O Nuh, come down from the ark with peace from us, and blessings be on you. Surah Hud, 11th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 48. So Nuh alayhi salam has been addressed by his followers and his people, Ya Nuh, bit bi salamin minna wa barakatin, O Nuh, come down from the ark with peace from us and blessings be on you. Similarly, the people of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Ya Ibrahim, a'rid an hada. O Ibrahim, seek not this. Ya Ibrahim, a'rid an hada, seek not this. Surah Hud, 11th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 76. By his people, Nabi Ibrahim was addressed directly as Ibrahim. Similarly, Nabi Musa alayhi salam was addressed by the Jewish people as Ya Musa, inni istafaytuka ala nasi bi risalati. O Musa, says Allah, O Musa, I have chosen you over others for my mission as a messenger. Surah A'raf, 7th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 144. Nabi Dawud alayhi salam has been addressed as follows, Ya Dawud, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. O Dawud, we have indeed made you our vicegerent, our prophet, our messenger on the earth. Surah Sa'ad, 38th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 26. Similarly, Zakariya alayhi salam has been addressed, Ya Zakariya, inna nubashiruka bi ghulabin ismuhu Yahya. O Zakariya, we give you good news of a son. His name shall be Yahya. Surah Maryam, 19th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 7. Similarly, Ya Yahya, khuzil kitaba bi quwwa. O Yahya, take hold of the book with might, with strength, hold it tight, grasp it tightly, this book. Surah Maryam, 19th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 12. Ya Isa, inni mutawaffika wa rafi'uka ilayya. O Isa, I, Allah, will take thee and raise thee to myself. In other words, to Allah. Surah Imran, 3rd Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 55. The above are all examples of references by naming the prophets, but here follow the remarkable and blessed way of addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with endearment and with mercy. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya ayyuhar rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. O messenger, O my messenger, proclaim the message which has been sent to you from your Rabb, from your sustainer. Surah Ma'idah, 5th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 67. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, inna arsalnaka shahidan. O my prophet, we truly have sent you as a witness to mankind. Surah Ahzab, 33rd Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 45. Here again, look how Allah is addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhal muzzammilu, qum al-layla illa qaleelan. O you wrapped in blankets, wrapped in clothes, stand prayer at night, except for a small portion of the night. Surah Muzzammil, Surah number 73, ayat number 2. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuhal muddassir, qum fa'anzir. O you wrapped up in a cloak, O you wrapped up in a mantle, arise and warn people. Surah Muddassir, 74th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 2. The consequences of disbelief and disobedience. Ya ayyuhal muddassir, qum fa'anzir. In other words, warn the people of the consequences of disbelief and disobedience. Such was the prominence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam among the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. that Allah has, unlike the other prophets, addressed him in this particular way by these attributes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How beautifully he has been addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular manner and in this particular way. So we need to appreciate this particular way wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken and addressed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whereas with the other Anbiya's, their names have been taken. Their people also addressed them in that particular way. But the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala al-Mu'min never addressed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by any other way. They never addressed him by his name. Nobody said, Ya Muhammad. Never spoke to him like that. Always, Ya Rasulullah. With great respect and great dignity, they addressed him. So we find similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Sahabas learnt it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they saw in the Quran Majid the mode of great loving address to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they acquired that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told them, do not address Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like you address one another. Speak to him with kindness, with respect and with dignity. And that is how they address him, always with dignity. All these are factors. So we have dealt with all these more than 50 different factors. Altogether there are about 80 factors. So the balance we are still going to do in another one or two lessons more, and we try and conclude this particular factor of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this way. As I say, there are another 15-20 factors left in order to conclude these lessons. They are very important. It gives us an in-depth view into the life of Rasulullah sallam. What makes him the most prominent, the most eminent among the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We as Muslims need to know. And we need to also understand that all the Anbiya's and Rasuls of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala occupy a very lofty stage in the life of mankind. I was saying to you earlier that when it came to the miracles of of the Anbiya's, the miracles of the prophets, we've had a bit of a problem in the Cape. The reason is that it has been preached here in the Western Cape, in Cape in particular, that miracles that are supernatural events are unacceptable. That is absolute nonsense. I use that word categorically. It is nonsense. A miracle of a Nabi and a Rasul is a supernatural occurrence. It defies natural law. A mu'jiza defies natural law. It is above natural law. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The asa of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wa salam parted the waters of the Red Sea so that the followers of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wa salam from Egypt, that they could cross that river. Similarly, many other miracles of the Anbiya's were performed then in that period. The Mi'raj, I've had a lot of difficulty with that. The Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a physical ascension. Nothing impossible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was told very clearly in a meeting with the Muslim Judicial Council that is impossible. We need to understand and accept that it has to be in accordance with natural law. It cannot be. In a time when there was no science, no technology, how can Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have gone up into the heavens, into the first, second, third room? He would have burnt up. Well, that may be in accordance with your specifications and my specifications, it may be so. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Allah invited him, he went there by the invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Jibreel alayhi salam took him on the Buraq. They say, Buraq, impossible, how can there be such a steed? It comes from Jannah. Buraq is from Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Buraq down. All these are events that have occurred. They defy human reason. They defy natural law. And with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all these events did occur. It is haq, it is truth. Anybody that doubts that, his iman is imperfect. So, mu'jiza is a supernatural event and occurrence that takes place. It defies natural law. Understand that. Inshallah, we will continue to speak in future on this. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.